CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. All right, so I got a huge surprise for you for this Wednesday morning. It's somebody who, if you've been listening to CliffCentral.com since the start, then you'll know exactly who this is. But even if you haven't, and you just pay a little bit of attention, she's easily one of our favorite people in the whole world ever. She's definitely one of mine. Only time I've caught up with her recently is on Instagram, because she's so busy and she's been all over the world and she's just incredible. She is incredible. She's away from her children for the first time in ages, and she's enjoying a little bit of sun in Etegwini. And she is our own queen, and she is Tumi Morake. Hello, Tums. Wow, look at you. How's it, baby? You're right. It's so good to see you. How you doing, Morake?
You
got. No, so nice.
Look, Bibiana is laughing like we're winning today.
How's it, Tumi?
Tumi.
Yeah, how you doing?
Right. Good to see you. Yes, you're so famous. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
This is hectic.
Tumi, how are you?
Me, I'm great, winner. My family's calling me Lazarus.
Yeah.
Right.
Because I had COVID, and the COVID went to clotting, to long COVID. Jesus. Then as soon as I recovered, I was like, let's go vaccinate. I was admitted to hospital and I had surgery recently. I had my gallbladder removed. It's been adventurous.
This is horrible. I remember when we started lockdown, you were one of the first people on my TV show. And we were talking. You remember, and we were talking, you were in America at that stage, and you were saying to me, you're not so worried about this thing, which was my attitude. And it's how bad could it be? And let's just get on with it. And, you know, these masks and things are stupid. Do you remember all that? And
I remember all of this.
Yes, sis.
Ha ha, this thing, COVID 28 special. Oh, boy.
And it hit you hard.
Oh. Hey, friend. And for my husband, he developed into COVID pneumonia. So I think that was the scariest moment for us, because he's severely asthmatic.
Mm.
So I was like, actually, he's not severely asthmatic, he's just asthmatic. And that, I think, for me was like a point where I was like, yo, my privilege is in my face.
Well, tell you what, I'm very glad you pulled through, because we wouldn't have found anyone filthier or dirtier to do the show with us. So.
Fred, I'm coming fresh from SABC. I'm very self-centered, ne? So if you feel I'm holding back, it's because the trauma, I'm still unpacking the trauma.
No.
I don't know why I do this to myself.
I'm just very pleased, because I heard about all of this. You know, you talk to people and then they tell me how you are. And so even though you and I are not communicating every day, like, I hear from people, oh my God, Dumi's had this really tough time and it's been shit. Who was looking after the kids while all of this was going on with you and your husband? Because you two sound like you were in the old age home by that stage already.
We all had COVID. But, you know, I'm convinced the kids are the ones killing people in the world. Those little petri dishes of disease are the ones who are killing the world. Because whatever we get, kids get it like, I'm back. I'm dying.
Yeah, but this is... This is why, like, people who are worried about their kids, I'm like, what are you worried about the kids for? They're not going to get it. They're just going to pass it on to other people. And, you know, even back in the States now, they're all these groups who are terrified of the kids and making the kids wear masks on planes. Like, a 2-year-old was wearing a mask on a plane the other day, and this kid is asthmatic and he's like screaming and carrying on because he can't breathe. And, and they threw his mother and him off the plane. And I'm like, you're really scared of a kid?
A 2-year-old.
You know?
Well, they are petri dishes, like I said. A kid will have a stomachache and have a bit of a poo. They infect you, my friend. You are in ICU, vomiting your life. Don't underestimate children. They are definitely weapons of mass destruction. Like, if you want to end the country, just put a busload of crutch kids.
Yeah, the country will be done. It'll kill everybody. It'll kill all of us.
It wasn't to protect the kids, it was to protect everybody else.
So when did you guys come back from America? Give us an update from the last time we spoke to you.
We came back in February.
Yeah.
We kept it quite low-key because South Africa was still very much deep in the second wave.
Mm.
And Although I'm glad I got the South African flavor of COVID. I don't think having COVID in America would have been comforting. I think I would have been even more anxious.
Yeah, away from no, for sure.
You know? Yeah. I feel like the ancestors are more on standby and they're like, ah, not yet. It's okay. In America, they're still stuck at passport control. So.
Yeah.
So we came back and we were, you know, we were like, let's just wrap up our life in South Africa now that we know we can live in America, we can survive it. And that's why the kids stayed in online school, but we put them in every social thing we can so that when we go back, they can be in brick and mortar. Because now my firstborn, at least we know, can be vaccinated when we get there because he's 12.
Right.
And then the other two will just be on standby. Yeah, so we've just been bag grafting and eating the good food, man.
Yeah, so I was curious about what you missed for the time you were there, because it was quite a long time. I mean, it wasn't like you were just doing a holiday. And when you are away from South Africa, there are certain things that you miss. And there's certain things that people think are a big fantasy about America. And you know, when you're living somewhere, there are very few fantasies that come to reality. It's like suddenly it's very stark and it's very jarring and it's kind of a little bit intimidating.
Yeah, I found it lonelier than home. Mm. South Africa, I don't think we realize how much of a big community we are, no matter how we have dumb things that separate us.
Yeah.
But here, you always feel a warmth of community. And also the food, guy. You know, I would go and buy like chicken wings, but there's a warning about pork on the thing. I'm like, what's the pig doing in the chicken's house? What is going on? Like, what is this?
Jesus, that's insane.
Did somebody have an affair with someone on old McDonald's farm? You know, so I think there was a comfort for me as well around, I know what I'm eating when I'm here. When I'm there, I'm going to have to live the organic life and spend that much extra. You know,
but they put bacon in everything. Everything.
Okay, listen, I don't understand about that. I will say the big difference as well is my entire family lost weight because my kid's pulmonary pediatrician was not happy with us because our kids each put on minimum 8 kilograms.
Yeah.
In the 8 months we were away, and no. He was like, "This cannot be a thing," because the heavier they are, the higher the meds we have to put them on. And that's another thing I appreciate about South Africa is that actually medical stuff is way more affordable. Like that was the one thing I was like, but it's in the first world. Why can't I just get a panaro for nothing?
Yeah.
And you must negotiate with your boy and be like, but friend, are we really that sick? You must be. I mean, so that you really have to.
That's
that
scary, time. Hey? Wow. Because
lungs work harder.
Yeah, because you assume that it's more advanced and it's easier and it's better and you can just walk into a pharmacy and get what you need. It's a hell of a lot worse. It's a whole lot more complicated. And it's just,
it is very complicated.
Because it's different. It's like, you know, if you bank money in the US, then the whole procedure is very different to here in South Africa. They don't use internet banking like we do. They still...
I busted backward. Mm. I was like, this is the first world.
I know.
But come on, guys. I've never had to be inside a bank in South Africa. I was like, I bank on my phone all the time. Not there. Not there. There we have to have a face-to-face. We have to walk in.
where were you living?
So we lived in Virginia. I preferred when we were in New York, but it was New York. New York felt like an orgy. So I was like, I'm leaving. I can't be in this orgy during the whole panoramic.
Yeah, sure.
So I went to Virginia. And that was great. It was open. The kids could still go to a park. And it's cute because there were a lot of people's kids are driving them crazy. And there was this quiet agreement between parents where if you arrive there, and there's a family that's playing, you kind of wait a little bit and then you walk and then come back and see if they're gone. So when you see a family arriving, you know it's time to wrap it up because no.
Kids. Oh, wow.
Those people, they also need a moment.
Shame.
So, yeah. So we're doing that because, yeah, like kids and cabin fever. No. You will lose your mind. Even the TV is like, I'm enough. I've been abused enough.
I'm just looking at all these people who are so excited to see you again. And there are lots of messages here. Sazi says, good morning, sis Tumi.
Hello, baby.
Yeah, and then Batong aus Tumi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's lower. Yes, girl. Glow. Take it low. Glow. Yeah, oh, gosh. Yes, I'm glowing.
Because you're looking so good. That's nice. Someone's,
just because my forehead is hot, yeah.
Someone's complaining your sound is low, so we've tried to turn it up.
Oh, it's my sound low. I'm going to... No, it's me. It's my fault.
Oh.
It's my fault. Let's fix it. It's probably because I'm very far from my microphone. I'm going to bring it closer. It's just that I look so huge. You had Mpulela tiny, so I was just like, oh, my God, I'm going to sit back. Does that sound better?
That sounds much better.
I'm sure
there
that sounds
go.
Better.
There
okay,
we go.
Okay, cool. All right. There we are. Sorry.
That's
sorry, David. I love that you want to hear me. Also, Gareth, in my life, I've been called many things, but low with the volume.
I know, because that's not something that happens to you all the time. So
no,
listen.
No, I get called loud.
aren't you missing doing stand-up? I mean, this was your like way of interacting with people. It's your like primary engagement in society. And I speak to so many comedians, and you guys are all handling it really well, considering. Like, this would be if you switched off my microphone and I wasn't allowed to do this every day, I'd probably go crazy.
I literally have comedy blue balls.
Yeah.
That's what I have right,
right.
now. I have serious comedy blue balls. So the first thing I did when I found out I'm going to be here for a while is ask the Durban people.
Yeah.
Wherever the clubs are, tell me I'm coming. I need it. I need the release. Like, you know, you feel like I'm going to do some shit if you don't give me a stage. I'm either going to rob a bank unnecessarily for 5 grand just for the excitement. Just.
So are you completely recovered now from all of your health issues?
Yes. Yes, I am. And I must thank the gallbladder because at least I lost a dress size. So I'm grateful.
All right, so there's some upside to this.
There is some upside. Like, ish. Yeah. Shit. I want to play now. I just want to play with other children now. It's time.
No, it's because listen, you've had some pretty harrowing experiences in the last while. I mean, you know, first of all, moving to another country, they say, is one of the most stressful things that you can do, and doing it with children even more so. You had that car accident just a couple of years ago, which was really, really scary. You've now barely pulled through COVID, which, I mean, a lot of people just breeze through it, but you seem to have got all the shit things along the way, you know, like all the crappy things that could have happened to you happened. And now you've got to come back here and then go back again. It's a lot of pressure on you. Babes, are you all right?
Me, I'm like, is the bag secure? Yes. As long as the bag is secure, I'll do anything. But on the plus side, what it did teach me is I can live between both places. So it's no longer this idea of I'm stuck there. Mm. It's I'm going to work here and work there. Because while I was there, I was doing a lot of work with South Africans besides the work that I was doing there that's based in America. So that's great that I don't have to completely break up.
Like, and are you done with Motsweding? What's happening there?
Yes, I quit. Ah, friend, I just told you, I freed myself from the beast, dog. Like, bless the SABC. But, and I should have listened to you the first time I decided to go to radio. You know, you were so supportive, but you were like, let me tell you something.
Yeah.
You see that your ass, you're going to see it. And for some reason, I'm a sucker for punishment. I keep going back and I've realized radio and corporate politics is the same in all of the stations.
Definitely.
Doesn't matter what they are.
Yeah.
But I really don't thrive in an environment where I have to be censored. I really tried with Motsweding, and especially because when I was in America, it was different. But
you tried with old Jacaranda as well. And I mean, listen, if anyone says, you know, Tumi Morake didn't give it a proper go on radio, then they haven't been paying attention, because you really put you put all your effort in. I mean, I remember even with your sipping tea show that you started with us with Mabali all those years ago.
Like,
even with that.
I miss sipping tea.
I know, but even that, you would do the work, you know, you'd pitch up early in the morning, you'd get your show going, you'd have things that you wanted to do, guests and people you wanted to talk to, and like you worked really hard. And most radio people are lazy shits, and the management are the worst. I'll say it because you can't, but you know, radio management, especially at the SABC, they're bottom feeders. They're the lowest, most unbelievably backward simpleton people that you'll ever meet in your life. They're like,
yes, tell us how you really feel, Gareth.
Mm. Well, I thought I was being quite diplomatic. Okay, sorry, I'll lay it on thicker next time. I thought I was being nice.
like, I'm not gonna mention names, but mm-mm. yes, there are certain places that we need to stop pumping fresh blood into a corpse. Mm-hmm. You need to bury the mother effer and then build afresh, because they'll take 2 steps forward and you start getting excited, then 10 steps back. You're like, we're not even where we started. We're further back. Mm-mm. And I'm too honest, so I'm done holding back. I'm like, you see? Sometimes I'm like, you are the reason I have a gallbladder. I'm sure at least 2 of those black stones are yours. At least 2.
Now, how was it when you were in New York and now you had to come back and you had to deal with SABC? Like, I mean, when you're seeing a beast, like how they would do what they do in New York, and then you had to come back and you had to come back. Are you, does it make you happier to go back, or are you thinking, I can come back and bring a New York vibe here?
You get frustrated by our potential. And the gatekeepers or the cock blockers who are not letting us advance. Yeah, we are swimming in talent in this guy.
I agree with that.
We just don't have people who have the balls to go, let's put these people on. That, for me, it was the biggest heartbreak when I was thinking about coming back home. You don't come back home to anything less than what you can do in America. The difference is just the money and the people who are willing to just make shit happen and take a chance.
Yeah,
you know, I think, yeah.
I've always thought one of the frustrating things is also that we have, you know, we've got maybe 60 million people, and America's got like 300 and something million. Your market is just huge. And also, out of our 60 million people, maybe 10 million are actually in the economy. You know, they actually have money. Mm-hmm. They participate. Mm-hmm. They buy products. They, you know, they can choose what they want to listen to or watch. Or so. It's a very small market compared to the US. Very small.
Yeah, but you can build it. My problem is they're not even trying to build. Come on, Gareth. You've built. You've built. You took Cliff Central and you didn't go, this thing must blow up in 6 months, otherwise it's over. These guys, you arrive and they're like, yeah, we love your product. But after 3 months, if it's not selling, you're out. I'm like, what do you mean? That's not how it works.
Of course I did. Of course I thought that. I was so disappointed when it wasn't printing money within the first year. Then I thought, I'll wait another 3 years. Still wasn't printing money. 7 years later, I'm still sitting here not printing money.
Don't come talk cack here. Your audience grew, and you grew a sophisticated, the audience that you want. Mm. And then there's also those pockets of the ones that you don't want who makes it hard to be there.
Yes.
So their money will make itself the way it needs to make itself.
No, I know. No, you're right.
We're here. Are we not here? Is it not in the morning?
Are there not people
who are awake right now, brushing teeth and listening to us?
No, I'm not disagreeing at all. In fact, I had a meeting yesterday with one of our longtime clients, and we're about to launch a sixth season of our Blind History podcast, which is just amazing. And, you know, I was talking to Anthony and Kate, who were in our office, and we were just talking about like the kinds of things that we have been through in the last 7 years at Cliff Central, and the fun that we've had, and the people that we. Do you remember those shows? That you, I think your show was always on a Tuesday, and we would have like the most insane shit happening around there. There were like wild animals walking around on a leash. Yes. The one day I think there were leopards or cheetahs or something walking around the studio. Then there were people naked. Then there was someone. Then there was someone dancing on a pole. Then there was somebody doing like aerobics in the big office there. There were staff running around with, you know, like just
It was actually hard to leave after work, I must say, like, because you'd want to be like, what's coming next? You want to see that, and then you'll go. I don't think anyone came to work and left. You come home, you stick around and go, what's the next guy doing?
No. And I wouldn't have it any other way. The only difference is that when I hear people talk about, like, America and what goes on there in entertainment, it's just a whole different kettle of fish. The money's so huge. Yeah. I mean, you think about how successful some people who've been moderately successful in other parts of the world are when they get there. And you're like, that's just unbelievable.
But you have to be a hard worker, though.
Big time.
It's your oyster, but if you're not fast and if you're not clear, it will swallow you.
Bradley says, by the way, if you hadn't hired Mumbaloo, you would be printing money. So it's all
we all make mistakes. We all make mistakes.
Nobody's perfect.
Yeah, we all make mistakes.
And Melissa's just reminding me, because we haven't done this for weeks now, where we have to say, please like and subscribe and leave a comment below, guys. You have to do this shit right. Otherwise, we don't know, you know. The algorithm doesn't work properly for us. So we decided we're going to take the show on YouTube in April last year, but it's not really, you know, it's not really the focus. I mean, like, by far and away, our audience is much, much bigger on podcasts. So that's really the main thing that we do still. But we thought we'd do this. It's a little bit irritating that, you know, you can't just arrive here with your hair a mess, you haven't brushed your teeth, and you know, you're not wearing any pants and all that stuff, because you kind of have to be ready for the show in the mornings in a way that we weren't for the first part of the pandemic last year. When we for those first few months before we were doing the show on video, it felt like it was so easy. You just roll out of bed, you know, go over to the studio, which, I mean, I've set up a little studio here, and then you just start recording and start doing the show live. And it was lazy as hell. Nobody put any effort in for those first couple of weeks. And then suddenly in April, we were like, no, we have to do something with this. So let's set up cameras.
This is so awkward.
I know.
This is so awkward because I am very much
not wearing pants.
This right.
That's amazing.
And I'm not going to discuss what's not happening. Because this is, I was like, this is all you need to know. I will not be getting up until we switch off.
Sindile says, I'm frustrated by our potential, which is what you said earlier to me. I felt that. Yeah.
Yeah. Because we can't eat potential, Trauma. Like,
so much. So much. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
All right. So a couple of things we've got to talk about a little bit on the show this morning, because there's so much going on. I just want to read this quickly. This is from Captain Black Knees. So Captain Black Knees says that apparently our podcast has helped him improve his life. So listen to this. Besides using it to confront uncomfortable subjects with my girlfriend, I'd take out headsets and play it on the speaker in the background. It always works. Here are the five practical ways. Listen to this. This is amazing. Five practical ways that your show has helped me. So we haven't received proper fan mail for a long time. So this is nice from Captain Black Knees. All right. First of all, I wake up early to listen live. And as a result, I feel charged up for work by 8 a.m. Nice. That's great. Number two, I've learned to be tolerant of other people's opinions, even though I've often been urged to fast forward Mbulelo. Okay. I now run daily. Ben Karpinski's life transformation has helped. Number four, I've stopped smoking weed. Gourd was great, but disorganized, so I saw a bit of gourd in me. Number five, being on the show taught me that loyalty is a commodity. Your audience has supported Crowdcoin to its demise, and I'm indebted to them. And then finally, it reminds me that I'm growing up and you can get better. Just look at the evolution of some of the people. Listen to Mbulelo's philosophy as it gets more and more human. So thank you for what you guys do. That's very nice. I thought that was a very sweet email from Gia, Captain Black Knees.
Mara, this indebted to them, is it both figurative and literal?
No. So, I mean, we've been so involved in cryptocurrencies on this show because from the get-go, we kind of hopped on that bandwagon. And, you know, the funny thing is, like, if you watch the normal TV news, or you even listen to radio, they never talk about this stuff unless it's in a specific feature. Like, they don't, we give the, you know, Bitcoin price at least every day or every 2 or 3 days, and we talk about it. And we've got Sean Saunders on every now and then who tells us about what's going on at Revix. But the rest of them don't, they don't seem to talk about it very much. And we've actually got Sean on today a little bit later. And we've also got a very, very difficult interview. Now, I don't want to bring anyone down this morning, but there's this incredible book that this woman wrote. Her son, who was 25, committed suicide 2 years ago, and she's written a book about it, and it's called Waterboy. She's a journalist who lives in KZN, and her son, Spencer, was depressed. Now, there's this really sad story that happened in, I think, New Zealand or Australia, I can't remember which one, but this mother, she and the father and their two or three kids moved over to New Zealand or Australia. I can't remember the details of this, but that's not important. That's why I didn't pay attention to that. The story is that she basically put cable ties around her kids' necks and throttled them to death. And they all three died. And she eventually, like, was arrested. And they found out that she'd gone off her meds. She had, like, serious depression and mental health issues, which we talk about a lot on the show, you know. And just the most horrific story of this woman, who was apparently from, like, Pretoria or something, and they decided to move over. But as one of the conditions for getting into these countries, you can't be on psychiatric medicine, or you have to be on a certain dosage of it or something. So she took herself off of this stuff, and she was a doctor, so she's no idiot, right? Took herself off this medicine, and then, you know, this life of hers just spun out of control in the most horrible way. I mean, to kill your own kids, she must have been in a really bad way. And it just got me thinking about the story of Glynis Hornings, who I spoke to last week with her son. And it's really one of the hardest interviews I've done. It's probably about 40, 45 minutes. But she was, it was one of the hardest things to listen to hear her tell her story. The reason we decided to do the interview is not because I want to pull people down or depress them. There's a lot of people who are going through a lot of shit at the moment, right? And we always, it is Suicide Prevention Month in September. And, you know, we speak to the guys from the South African Depression and Anxiety Group. And I've never really felt depression because I'm just lucky. Brain chemistry just doesn't do that to me. But this woman wrote about mental health for a long time. So she uses the right words to describe it so that people who don't feel what it's like, they can't empathize properly, so we can get some idea of what it must be like. And I've always said the hardest thing in the whole universe must be for a parent to lose their kid, right? She tells the story beautifully. It's still 2 years, so it's still raw for her. And I think you must just listen to it if you want to. Maybe you just want to open yourself up to it and see what life can really be like, and maybe be grateful for the things that are going on in your life that work. Because it's not my intention to depress you with this interview, but man, it's tough stuff. And we'll be playing that at 8 o'clock this morning. So take a listen
Can I jump in for a second?
Yeah, of course. Sure.
My son is currently on anti-anxiety and anti-psychotic medication.
Mm.
So when you say that, I feel like it's so important. We need more and more people hearing about depression. And the people suffering from it are younger and younger, and we don't understand it. For me to even know we need to get my son help was when he took a full tray of Alicet. And he was just, because of all this information he's taking in, and I mean, this was at the height of the pandemic, Black Lives Matter, elections in America, storming of the Capitol, all of that.
Mm.
And he took an entire tray of Alicet. Now, you understand that is an attempted suicide by a 12-year-old.
Jesus.
It is a very hard thing to go through. And I really think people, as soon as they hear about this stuff and there's feelings they can't quite articulate and shit that they're going through by themselves, it's really important to listen to other stories, because that for me has also been something that got me through. It's a very hard thing. You blame yourself as a parent. I'm going through my own shit. So it's really important to hear what other people go through.
I'm sorry that you and your family are going through this too, but the scariest thing of all is it's like it's so widespread. It's not the exception now. It's like everybody knows somebody, you know?
Yeah.
Everybody knows somebody. Like, and it must be very hard for you, because you don't know what you can and can't do to help your kid, you know? You don't.
It's helpless.
It is. You feel helpless. So, I mean, take a listen to it. You know, if you're feeling a bit fragile, don't listen to it today. Then listen to it later in the week when you feel a bit better. We've got a short week this week, Heritage Day on Friday. So, if you're going to be spending the weekend doing something fun, send us a message. Tell us what you're up to. But I do think that this is the kind of thing that we all have to expose ourselves to. You can't hide your head in the sand and say, it'll never happen to me. Because you will meet somebody. You may even yourself develop certain issues around circumstance. You know, I mean, even if you're lucky and your life has more or less happy and you've got your shit together and you think everything's fine, stuff can happen to derail us. And it's good to know what those signs are early on so that you can arrest the problem and find help. Nothing wrong with finding help. There's nothing wrong with asking for help. And listen, from that story in New Zealand, it just made me think, if you're on meds, don't take yourself off of them. Speak to the professionals. Speak to the, you know, like, don't make your own decisions about this shit, even if you are a doctor. Like, speak to a real professional in psychiatry. And if they put you on that stuff, you're on it for a reason. Don't say, oh, I don't need it anymore. No, wean myself off. That's where things go really badly wrong. Anyway.
Sure. But that is a hectic story.
Yeah, it's a terrible,
that's one of the craziest things I've ever heard in my life, actually.
Terrible, terrible. Imagine being that dad now. Like, you moved over to this country, and they've just apparently been through quarantine, okay? So that's hell, because you're, like, locked in a hotel for, like, 2 weeks, I think it is, or whatever. And apparently, you know, being in a hotel's fine if it's a really nice hotel and you can go and sit at the pool and you can enjoy yourself. But if you're locked in your room, and they literally put a tray of food there and then ring the bell and run away. It's like, you know, that's not exactly fun. And then your wife is obviously losing it, and she does this, kills your children. And then you have to, as the guy who's left, you've got no kids left, your wife's going to jail. What have you, and you moved to a foreign country, so you don't have anyone to support you there. It's just terrible. That is, I can't imagine a worse situation. I mean, like, this guy's got nothing to live for. If he pulls through, if he actually makes a life after this, he's a hero. He's the strongest man in the world. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, no, I mean, oh my God.
Jesus.
Where do you start with?
Anyway.
Wowzers.
Lawrence says on this subject, my dad is bipolar. He had a manic episode earlier this year. It was scary. I'm sorry, Lawrence, but this is
it. Bipolar people.
Oof.
You know what, bipolar people, the thing about them is they're intelligent, eh?
Mm.
So those people will also mess with your mind, and I think it gets frustrated. Like, I must say, though, I did prefer my mom on her manic episodes. On her downers, I just couldn't. Oh, it was so that I found scary. I found it scarier than the manic episodes.
Your mother was bipolar?
Yeah, my mother was bipolar.
Sure.
The thing that killed her was, like, that doctor in New Zealand, she messed with her medicine.
Mm-hmm.
She would stop her medicine altogether because she's like, I hate this one. They put me on this one. It makes me feel like this. And because she'd been a psychiatric nurse for so long, she put herself on something else. She manipulated a file, created a poison in her body, and that's what eventually killed her, because she had been put on hypertension medicine. Then her kidneys packed up, and that was it. But, yeah, I feel your pain, man. Jesus. Bipolar people.
Yeah.
If I had to get a mental illness, I'd rather be bipolar, I must say, because it's actually the most controllable one. But these people, there are a lot of guys who suffer from bipolar disorder also tend to then not want to play ball with the medication. But I think it's actually, if you honestly had to pick one, I would pick that one because it's quite controllable.
Corona's Boring is bringing some light back to the morning by saying, you just need to play bipolar people against themselves. Yeah. That's beautiful.
That's very good.
Apparently on that New Zealand story, which, I mean, we didn't even get to it yesterday. We had so much going on in the show. But Lenise says the New Zealand government is apparently making plans to get the grandparents of the three girls to New Zealand for support. Sure. I hope so. I hope
that's
so.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, it is beautiful. But, I mean, listen. You gotta keep it together, and so many people have really lost it because of what's going on in the world right now. You know, there's this upset to their whole feeling of how the world should be and what they're here for and kind of whether they can handle any stress at all. And you suddenly see, like, a lot of people are very fragile. They are on a knife's edge. They're not handling every day. And we've got to be very aware of this, because they can snap like this, and then you suddenly got issues. Jesus.
You know what makes it, I mean, what will amplify the situation for this poor gentleman is that, you know, we've seen now that New Zealand will shut down the whole country if there's one case. You know, Jacinda just,
right,
like, as a society, they don't deal well with trauma. Like, for this gentleman now, is he's stuck in a place where, you know, if he was in South Africa, we'd be like, oh my God, that is a terrible thing. But you know, when you deal with people that it's like, that's a terrible thing. It happens. Here are the things we do to comfort you. Whereas in New Zealand, they're going to spend probably 6 months going, oh my God, it's going to be in every paper. Oh, we can't believe it. How can people be like this? As opposed to awful things happen, which we know as South Africans. Here is what you do about awful things. And oh man, I just... Yeah.
I'm sure the Maori guys understand trauma, man. The Maori people understand trauma.
Well,
what a world.
It's horrible. Someone said on a stream yesterday that they're battling with mental health issues. Cry for help. I'm nicer to people now. Well, yeah, you know, at least people are reaching out more. Like, it's become a lot less taboo to talk about this stuff. Like, people now open up and they'll speak about it a little bit, you know. COVID has released a lot of mental illness. It's flipped the switch for many, says Brendan. That's exactly right.
It was just to save ourselves, yeah? I mean, to face ourselves. Like, you don't understand. Lockdown. Being in that space with the fridge and your thoughts. You had to face yourself, I think. And also for people who didn't have patience for other people suffering from mental illnesses, they got a taste of it. So even people who didn't necessarily suffer from it, just that time of being locked in a space and knowing what it's like to be locked in here, I feel also created a little bit more empathy. You know?
I hope so. I mean, I didn't want to spend the morning talking about this, but it did come up as a big story. And I think, you know, we mustn't avoid these things and ignore them just because they're uncomfortable and they don't make us feel great. So apparently, just to change the subject a little bit, apparently Bulelo on his Cliff Central sports show, you challenged James, who works with you on the show, to do 12 workouts with you as a trainer. And if he misses one session, he has to pay you money for all the sessions, right?
No, so he doesn't have to train with me because it's unreasonable to take somebody who's doing nothing and then come train with me. So he's training with my trainer, and a physiologist as well. It's not just a bot who's going to, bot, let's go get huge. No. Brad is going to, it's not that life. I would never train with those types of guys. So I said to him, look here, because he's kind of, you know, when people are hinting they want to go in the right direction, because I don't invest in people if you're not invested. Like, I'll tell you a story. My dad was once driving me to football practice and we lost. And he said to me, so how are you feeling about the result? And we'd lost. And I was like, you know, and he stopped the car, pulls over to the side of the road. He said, listen here, I'm busy, right? If you're not invested, I'm not investing. How are you feeling about the result? And it's a lesson that's always stayed with me is I don't invest in people, right? If you're not invested, like I'm not invested. If you're not invested, I'm not interested if you're not invested before it. And I could kind of see James is trying to go on the health path. And I thought, you know what? Let's see what he's about. And sometimes you got to push people over the edge, right? So I said, okay, I'll give you 12 sessions with someone proper and I'll pay for it. But if he misses one session because he was tired or his back was sore, I expect a full refund of all of the sessions, not just one session.
Right.
Yeah. Cause like my rule as well is I know it's a difficult time for people, whatever. No fatties in the squad. There's no fatties in the squad. If you're going to work on a sports show, look like you work on a sports show. So let's see how it goes.
That does make some sense.
You know, sink or swim.
You need to play golf. Golf is a sport.
Golf is recreation.
Wrestling is a sport.
It is recreation. No, it's true. And it's like, you know, they made darts an Olympic sport. Now, darts. You can be the size of a house and play darts. That's not a sport. That's a hobby.
How far in?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. He picked up some weight in lockdown, and he was telling me yesterday, unprompted, and I thought, wow. And I've also, he doesn't know this, but I might as well say it here. I told my mom about this whole situation. She is coming to Johannesburg in the next 3 weeks. And if anybody doesn't tolerate fatties, it's her. She said she will have a word with him as well. So if he thinks I'm harsh, he has got another thing coming.
is she going to introduce herself to all of us? Because we've heard a lot about this mom of yours.
Yeah, yeah. She might do. I mean, she'll pop into the studio, I hope.
Okay, that'll be terrific. Terrific. All right, so listen to this quickly. This is interesting. Michael says, the eyes given to us by our technology tends to look at the world of drama. How is this affecting a teenager's vision of the future and their place in it? So, Dumi, this is just interesting because you have young kids, and especially because your eldest is now 12, which is a tricky time, right? They're not quite a teenager yet, but they're also not a kid anymore. And I just think one of the toughest things parents have to deal with is these things, these goddamn phones, because this makes the whole world extremely close, and sometimes you can't tell what the hell's going on in their little heads while they're seeing this stuff. And while they, as you mentioned, the news even, forget about the phones, but even the news, it's like it's suddenly a lot closer for kids than it's ever been. So I wonder, how do you operate with your kids on this basis? Do you say to them, you've got an hour to play online, or do you just give them a device and trust them, or do you monitor what they do, or do you put apps on there to control what they see, and how do you manage it?
Yeah, we use the family app to monitor and to control, and we've made it more negotiable though around age restrictions. We talk about it. We go, do you know why there's an age restriction? Let's look at what it is. And then if it's violence, then we go, okay, this is exactly why I don't think you should watch this. If it's sexual content, we talk about what do you understand about sex, because there's going to be stuff happening there. And I need to know you understand it. So that's the conversation with the older one. With the younger one, generally, they're obsessed with YouTube videos and very silly stuff. So we have always limited their time, but I'm less worried about the younger ones. We like when we find a dodgy thing, because we always go through, we make them use our Google account, because then we can see what they've been through and which sites they've gone on. We've locked off that whole private, you know, you have the private mode. Yeah. We've locked private mode, so you can imagine, like, we can't even enjoy porn anymore. Like, we are
sacrifice.
So you must clean up.
What a lot of
must clean up and clean up.
Oh my god!
That's the sacrifice we had to make. Of we probably have to get a new device to actually,
But you, you see, like, you guys can't even use the internet the way you want to now, because you have to also check on the kids all the time. So all your time that you would have spent checking on emails and all the rest, you're actually going through their Google history, making sure it's all cool.
Yeah, but luckily we don't have to do it a lot, because, you know, you'll get your notifications when they go on and whatever. And with, like, your streaming services, your Netflixes, your Prime Video and stuff, they have to enter a passcode get to certain content. So even on Netflix, they have their own profiles, and those profiles are age specific.
Right.
And when you've earned it and you want to watch a show, we decide. You know what I found that does? They steal less. Obviously, their kids, they'll always push the envelope and they'll try and sneak at something, but they're doing it much less, because now we've gone, you want to watch a thing? Come, let's talk about it. It's a negotiation. Sometimes you win, sometimes you won't. Or we'll sit and watch with you. Like, I sit and watch Rick and Morty with my 12-year-old. And I'm like, bless this child. I'm glad I gave birth, because, man, I love that show.
The greatest.
You know, but initially I was very concerned, because I'd read a review and I was like, you're not watching that thing. But now, because I watch it with them, I'm like, okay, let's get the humor. And yeah, I think the only hard thing for me is that now they've become woke. So everything's very black and white. And I'm like, okay, guys, I need to break this thing down to you, because you don't become those kids where now everything's black and white, because you don't.
Please, Lord, no.
No. So I'm trying to contain that. The plus side has been, I've seen my daughter go, Mom, I can't find any brown girls on this channel. And I go, okay, at least you want to see more of you. I'm okay with that. But I don't want it to be this extreme thing where now you have to be fighting everything. And yeah.
Because that also has taken the place of religion in some people's lives. And you see these kids, and you can just hear from the way that they talk that they actually don't know how to deal with a world that they're not 100% comfortable with. And we all know, growing up, you had to be ready to be uncomfortable the whole time. There was always going to be something that they threw at you. Kids these days are almost raised by some parents to expect that the world's going to do what they want.
I have a friend who's a 13-year-old who has to be referred to as them.
Uh-oh.
And my trauma is special. Like, bless his heart. He's a loving dad. Yeah. But he had to sit her down and be like, listen, you know your dad is dope. If I don't call you by what you want, it doesn't mean I don't love you any less. I am trying, and when I remember, I'm going to call you that. But I must say, I respect the school because the school sent the report card and they referred to them as them. They did not refer to them as
Oh, interesting.
So, yeah. So it's also great to see that schools are also evolving. And I think if schools evolve with school, with the kids, even at home, it'll translate to how they behave.
Well, I want to show you something on that note, because this is the kind of the kind of thing that I'm not entirely au fait with. I'm glad I'm not a parent because I don't have to deal with this shit. But I want to show you a little recording that I got off of, I think this is from TikTok or YouTube or one of them. Anyway, it's this young woman who wants to be called by her specific pronouns, and she really is quite adamant about it. And basically, if you don't do this, that you're committing some kind of violence against her. But I want you to see, because the way that she puts it across, just it irritated me instantly, and I know I'm not the only one. So have a look at this. This is some girl with obviously, you know, hair of a bizarre color. Obviously, that's the first, like, warning.
A classic, side. Classic, starter pack, starter pack.
Exactly. Slightly. Right.
What's the size? Is it the classic thinning hair, probably, and the belly? She's got the belly. She must belly. Have it.
And one or two.
Not a big one.
One or
wow.
two.
Wow.
Hang on. Do me your microphone's just gone crazy. I don't know what happened there. It's just suddenly started making a funny noise. Let's see if you can sort that out. I think a connection. There's a connection.
Better?
No.
Is that better?
No, it's much worse.
No.
Let me just try and figure
worse.
This out.
Still some white noise there.
Yeah, I know. It's horrible.
Which is not a racial thing. In case your daughter is woke.
That's better.
No, yeah, the white noise. Let's just be clear.
So look, watch this. And
not Karen in a wall.
Watch this. Tell me what you think of this. Here we go. I'll reserve comment until afterwards. All right. Can you hear her?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Okay. I don't know what's going on with the sound. Anyway, let me just see if I can get this working again one more time.
She looks grown.
Hmm. No, we can't hear you. Come on, honey. Anyway, she's talking about, no, I can't get it to work. I'll try again later. But it's, this girl's, she's basically like, I can't believe that you think that it's okay to not use my pronouns, but there are five different ways that I've made it clear that this is what I expect to be called. She basically wants mm-hmm. everyone in the world to know her pronouns, or else she considers it like a real infraction on her humanity. You know, those people are going out of their way to other her, to treat her badly. But she expects you to know this stuff. Now, I don't know about you, but I never read anybody's bio on Instagram or TikTok. I mean, I didn't have TikTok on my phone, but I don't read your bio, so I'm not sure whether she thinks that everybody, like, she's, you know, it's like she wants to be called Your Majesty. I mean, sorry, it's not good.
What?
No, but you, no, she, so her pronouns are Zer and Z or whatever, but it's like me walking around expecting people I don't know, who I've never met, who don't give a shit about me, to suddenly go Your Majesty every time they see me. That's what she's essentially asking for.
But again, I've said this before, you know, is that's the typical person that I really would have no problem, and I'm happy to say this, pushing a river and whatever happens, happens, right? Is that because, again, if the most interesting thing about you, right, is your identity politic, I'm female, I'm male, mm-hmm. I'm black, I'm white, mm-hmm. I'm Jewish, you're a shithead. Like, I will not apologize for that. If the most interesting thing about you is your identity politic, yeah. and that is what, not, oh, I'm interesting, I'm well-read, I'm caring, I'm kind, because those are human traits. That's what I really want to get into. Are you not a dickhead? That should be what we're focused on. He, she, I mean, what a shithead. And I hope her next hair coloring goes terribly, to be honest with you. Well, she looks like the type will switch it.
This hair coloring thing is definitely something we've picked up on, because Michael says apparently pronoun identification is a mental illness that is caused by the change of hair color. The color green especially has this effect.
I love Michael.
Yeah. Flea 143 says, I hate that the assumption nowadays is that a hate crime is if you don't bend the knee to everyone's wants and needs. Yeah, I mean, who has time? Who has time to remember what someone's pronouns are? The whole reason we developed... It's ridiculous, right? Them is a classic case of bipolar. Jean says, the pronoun movement is so dumb. Imagine defying the English language to accommodate your ego. Sick. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I think it's important, but I think approach is also important. Because especially, I think that the biggest like champions of this thing, the screws, must remember, you just arrived with this thing now. Us, we learned the grammar we learned. Mm-hmm. And we are trying. Just like to my friend's credit, where he said to his daughter, what I call you doesn't define how I love you. Mm. But I'm learning. Give me a chance. It's like they think somehow we were injected with the information and it's now automatically flowing out of us, you know? The only time I feel like, okay, now we are the ones being assholes is when we dead name people. That's the only time I go, okay, now you're just consciously being an asshole because we all know Mbulelo is Mbulelo, but now Mbulelo is Melissa. And you're insisting on calling Melissa Mbulelo, which
But it also depends on how serious a person you are. Like Caitlyn Jenner is just a ridiculous person. So whether, if you occasionally slip up and call him Bruce, that's fine too. I don't think that matters.
That's not nice, man. There's nothing Bruce about Caitlyn. Gareth. They're very different.
Hi, everybody. I don't know what's going on with Caitlyn Jenner, but
she's just a ridiculous person. I'm sorry. There's no way that you could take that person seriously. If the trans community decides to make her an ambassador, then that's on them. Sorry. Not a serious person.
Yeah, they have better candidates. No, they can do better.
Definitely.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, even in this ridiculous California recall election, I think she got 0.01% of the vote. Just shows you, like this is all Twitter hype. In the real world, most people are like, nah, women, men, and there may be some people who don't fit into those two categories, but they're a tiny, tiny percentage of the total population. And the fact that we're even talking about them as much as we are is kind of stupid. It makes them feel a bit weird because we're constantly referring to them in the news and on social media. But that's a small collection of people, and they should be allowed to get on with their lives without people being horrible to them. But at the same time, we don't all need to learn a whole new 23 sets of pronouns just because of this tiny proportion of people. It would be like, honestly, like calling everybody your majesty. It's just stupid.
Then you're othering yourself. Now you're othering yourself.
Right.
Don't other me. Yeah, but you're placing emphasis on your whole other.
Right. you want people to treat you like a special. That's what it is. Yeah. I think a lot of this stuff boils down to like just not getting enough attention as a kid. Really. Or too much attention from your parents as a kid. That's also the thing.
And ignorance, man. And ignorance. If you look at the GBV violence in South Africa, right? And especially when it comes to the gay community, you go, there are spaces where this is a very important conversation because there's a lot of ignorance and it's leading to people's deaths. It's leading to a lot of violence.
That's very rare.
I don't know. I feel like everything has a context.
To me, it's very rare. It's very rare. I mean, it's, you know.
What's very rare?
The amount of actual gender-based violence against the gay community. No, honestly, it is.
No, it's extremely underreported. I must disagree with you, Gareth. It's extremely underreported. Like, dude, there are people, there's a person I know, I'll speak of one example of someone I do know, who was a very butch female, who got put in a prison with men, got raped by those people in that jail, and I never read about it anywhere. But, you know, trust me, it's extremely underreported, especially you've encountered
alcohol. I'll take you.
You've encountered alcohol.
I'll take your word for it, but I don't think that it's as big a deal as everybody. It's used sometimes as a... I mean,
the hashtag. You see, this is what I was saying. And to your point,
hashtags are not news.
What happens on social media? What happens? Yes, hashtags are there for trends. But what's happening on the ground, and that's why I hate people who start these movements on the socials, because I'm like, for what? For what? So you can trend for 3 weeks, and then there's no follow up, there's no real action on the ground. Tech, I don't take part in that cack. You know what I mean?
Yeah, me too.
So, But I think, we also need to pull it back a little bit, because some people are here. Then you engage them, then they're lost because, like, no, I was just saying it so that everybody knows, but there's no substance to their argument.
That's exactly right.
And to that point, then, Dumi, is you've got kids, and you were saying your child can be work. It's, for me, again, I don't have kids, so I don't need to worry about it yet. Is that at what stage do you disabuse people of ideas that the whole world is for your comfort? Because that young lady just now who we couldn't hear, but I would imagine is, what about me? What about you? What you call me? Is that at what stage do we get to explain to kids that, listen, when you want to have rights, because that is a right, is she saying, I want more rights. In order to have personal rights, right? And I guess this is a little complicated for young kids. You give up civil rights. For more mm-hmm. civil rights, you give up personal rights. That's mm-hmm. just how it works. You don't get to have all of both of them, whether you like it or not. It's just not possible. Is that at what age are you, do you have to explain this to children that the world's never comfortable? Personal rights, you give away some, you get some civil rights. People will keep you safe so you don't get shot. You want some personal rights, you give away some civil rights and you keep your personal rights. There's always pain to be human. At what stage do you tell a child that?
It's probably, it starts, you don't tell them yet. I think it's how it's in how you raise them. Because with our kids, there's consequence. And I think as parents, sometimes we don't teach our kids consequence. So for us, it's about consequence. So even if you've come and you're giving me the puppy dog eyes, that's great. I'm glad you're remorseful. But you still have to pay for that chuck you did. All right? Yeah. So pay for the chuck you did. And that's the important thing. Because even when they want nice things like, oh, but I want to buy this new thing and it's on Fortnite and what. And I'm like, okay, that's great. I'm going to give you this thing. What am I getting? You know?
Yeah.
So I think that starts to make them go, okay, so to do this, I might need to give this up. Like, I remember a day my son wanted to watch a Man U game and whatever, and it was going to mean he sleeps late. And I was like, right, you do realize that it means I'm going to come and wake you up and you're going to be very uncomfortable because you would have had less sleep. The second thing is, this is a 90-minute game, which means you are giving up 90 minutes of TV time. This counts towards your TV time.
Right.
So if you're watching this
sacrifice
match, this time, tomorrow, instead of your 2 hours or your 3 hours, if it's a weekend, you're going to get less. So you need to do that. And when they're small, you start to feel cuck as a parent because you're like, but my kid doesn't get the concept. And I'm like, no, actually, down the line, this child's going to understand. For everything I do, there's some kind of consequence. And I must be ready. Yeah. Like there was a time my son was stuffing himself with jollof, right? And I wanted to stop him. And then my mother-in-law said, leave him alone.
Yeah.
Let the red card teach him. You know, red card is that diarrhea you get when you've had too much spicy food.
Oh, my
God.
And
he was like, let him eat. That thing will teach him.
That'll teach him. But idea, the idea of consequence and also the idea of sacrifice is like, if your son wants to watch a soccer match at 3 a.m. and you explain to him, well, you're going to lose sleep, you're going to lose TV time tomorrow, there has to be some kind of quid pro quo because nothing in life is for free, right? I wonder how many parents ever teach their kids to sacrifice anything. No, honey, you can have this food, you can have the TV, you can have the iPad, you can do what you want, you can invite your friends over, and you don't have to give up anything. Mm-mm.
And what happens? They start their YouTube channel with funny colored hair and they're cutting people out unnecessarily.
Shitting on people who have no problem with them. My producer Tabo always used to say, don't fight with me. I'm not fighting with you. And I often think when I go on the internet and I see these people who are so cross with someone or they're like angry about some political issue or whatever. And maybe it even happens with us on this show sometimes. And you imagine an objective person just sitting there going, why are you fighting with me? I'm not fighting with you. Just don't worry, you know, back down. Hell, calm down, everybody.
Take it easy.
Yeah, exactly. So this is very interesting, too. I'm a Man U fan, so I'm so sorry to hear that. Oh, sorry, a Man U fan. Okay, sorry, that's obviously someone who supports Liverpool. Then. Jeez, Tumi, we had this guy on Monday who collects Man U memorabilia and stuff. He's like the biggest Manchester United fan in South Africa. His office is full of Man U stuff. His house is full of Man U stuff. We do this thing called collectomania. Do you collect anything?
People.
Like
dead or alive.
That's important.
Oh my God. I don't have the concentration span.
Do you still speak to all the comics over here? You guys all still tight?
Yeah. Oh, actually, when you say that, I do collect the tags for every gig I've ever done. If you go to my house, you're gonna find the backstage tag. But
you see,
every show I've ever
now that's cool. What are you going to do with them? Do you just keep them in a box or something?
It's like hoarding. Yeah, and then it gets all sentimental. You know, I go, oh, this is when I was still cack funny. Ooh, this is when I was at the top of my game. Yeah, this was a disaster. So, yeah, I still talk to a lot of comedians. And, you know, I was actually having a conversation with Loiso Madinga recently.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just talking about how tacky it is, right? We talk about how tacky it is when some comedians are like posting all these corporates they're doing.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, comedians are doing like a lot of comedians are struggling right now. Mm-hmm. And I find it so tacky that you're just putting it in their faces that you're out here doing corporates,
yeah.
You know, because I feel like there are those of us who just never stopped working. But it's unfair to put that, not unfair, but it's just thoughtless and tone deaf to go and just put it in their faces.
Like, yeah. But some people are so busy boasting about the good things going on in their life that they forget that there are people who are having terrible times and really struggling a lot. And it feels like you're rubbing their faces in it. And it's mean.
Yeah.
It's really mean.
It is. Like, I'm just like, be considerate, man. You know what I mean?
It is 7 o'clock. We've got to get to some headlines. We've got Sean Sanders joining us next. We've also got our guests coming in a little bit later on too. Tumi Morake is with us on this Wednesday morning. It's a beautiful spring day, and it looks like it might even rain in Jersey and Pretoria, right?
Please let it rain in Jersey.
Tumi's in Durban, and we've got Sean in Cape Town, so we'll do a whole weather report for the country next. All of that and more coming up. CliffCentral.com. Stick around. We'll be back in a second. CliffCentral.com.